Good morning, Council. The next matter on our calendar is in the matter of the application of Chase and Chelsea Metals for a conditional use permit. And Council, if you will each state your name and your client before you begin your oral arguments, and also identify yourself prior to beginning those arguments. You each will have 15 minutes for your oral argument, and the appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. And you may begin.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Sean Reed, and I represent the appellants, Scott and Heidi Ancliffe, in this appeal. I'd just like to note for the record here today that my client, Scott Ancliffe, is present in the room. This is an appeal from the St. Louis County Planning Commission's decision dated July 20th, 2018, granting Respondent Meadows a conditional use permit to expand the operations of an existing gravel pit and the construction of a new haul road out to the industrial road. This haul road is constructed within a no disturbance setback and will come within 89 feet of my client's home.
Is it now, isn't the haul road though, isn't there an easement though on your client's property?
There is an easement involved in this case, Your Honor. However, we believe that easement is not pertinent to this particular fact because still we have to apply the ordinance 62 Article 6, Section 6.2. It's our position that the easement doesn't matter. Really,
right.
What we have to.
But isn't the haul road going to be over in the easement area?
It is within the easement area, Your
okay.
Honor. Yes.
And so isn't 33 feet?
I believe that's the width of the easement.
Right.
And the road has been constructed, is my understanding. And just to try to put some perspective to this, and it's hard to picture it in your mind's eye, but this haul road is within 89 feet of my client's property or house, and actually is set back 0 feet from the edge of the property line. So that's how close this haul road is, and that's what the impact is to my clients.
So is the road surface itself 33 feet wide, or is the haul road narrower?
Your Honor, I don't know that that's clear in the record. I'd ask my client that, but my client can't answer that question here on a review. I know the easement is 33 feet wide. I know that the haul road is within that easement.
Okay. Because generally speaking, the haul road would be presumably centered in that easement if possible, so that you can use the sides for maintenance and snow removal and things of that sort.
One would presume that. Unfortunately, from my review of the record or recollection of the record, I don't know that that's clearly answered. However, for purposes of our argument today, I don't know that it really matters in terms of whether it's centered within the 33 feet easement width or not. The whole point of our issue with the case is that the conditional use permit shouldn't have been granted because it's a legally insufficient basis for it, and there are not sufficient reasons or factual basis to support the decision.
What is our standard of review?
The standard of review in this case, as in most of the zoning cases, it's deferential. Counties have a wide latitude to do what it needs to do in connection with zoning matters. I cited the Schwartz versus County of Wanaton case. However, even if it's deferential, this court will reverse a governing body if it acted unreasonably, arbitrarily, or capriciously. And there's a two-step process involved in making that determination. Number one, this court must ask, are the reasons provided legally sufficient? The second part of that process is, are the reasons supported by a factual basis in the record? If those two questions are not answered affirmatively, then this court should reverse. And that's our position in this appeal, because the reasons provided by the county were not legally sufficient, nor were they factually sufficient.
Well, in terms of the legally sufficient argument, that you seem to conflate the factual argument with the legal sufficiency. I mean, legal sufficiency from seems to be for these types of cases is a relatively low bar, as long as it's meeting the purposes laid out by the county or the city or, you know, whatever municipality it is. That seems to be a relatively low burden. I'm not sure that isn't met here. I think it's more the factual issue, isn't it, that's in dispute here?
And I do recognize that, Your Honor. And I do believe there is some conflation involved here. And the reason there is, I think, is just the nature of the ordinance itself. Some of the factual issues and legal issues are closely related. But I will concede that point to the court. Really, it's the factual issues that are problematic here.
Okay, and what are those?
Issues, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Oh, go ahead. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that.
What are the facts that you believe that do not, or what is it that's not supportable in the record here? Or in the
okay. Decision? So, first of all, in this case is governed by Ordinance 62, Section 6.22G. Now, there are two clauses in here that are pertinent. That's Clause 9, which specifically states that no disturbance setback, including the haul road, shall be 100 feet from the property line. And that 100-foot distance may be modified if there was a written agreement between the parties. Now, in this case, there is absolutely no written agreement between Respondent Meadows and my clients, who are the adjoining property owners. So, and the parties agree on that fact. I think the county and my clients agree that there are no agreements between the parties. So that being the case, we have to then focus on Section 6.22 G10. And that's the exception that states that no disturbance setback area may contain the haul road in the following instances: one, for safety reasons; two, for wetland avoidance; and three, for a written agreement, which we'll put aside because that doesn't apply. So really, there's two areas I want to focus on. Number one, the record doesn't have any sufficient factual basis or facts identified, for that matter, identifying the safety reasons deemed necessary by the appropriate road authority warranting that haul road being located where it was. If you look throughout the entire record, there is not a single reference to anything for safety reasons. I believe the county cited the record on pages 55 through 60 for purposes of trying to identify safety reasons. But if the court were to look at that more closely, all that is basically the application for the entrance permit. There are no safety reasons that were presented at the hearing, nor are there anything in the record saying we have to locate this haul road entering or exiting onto the industrial road running right by my client's property. Those facts simply are not in the record. Secondly, with respect to the second instance, that's for the wetland avoidance. Now, this case is unique because there are many ways of accessing or could have been used to access this pit, one of which would have been creating a new haul road across a wetland. But we don't even have to address that issue. That's the wetland across to Caribou Lake Road. The interesting fact about this case is that there was an existing haul road already in place. And given the fact that there was an existing haul road already in place, already in use by Respondent Meadows, or could have been used by Respondent Meadows, there's no facts in the record that stated that he had to locate the haul road adjacent to my client's property in order to avoid the wetlands.
But
and the simple fact is,
I mean, he had no right to that other road, right? Wasn't it on someone else's property? And the only way he could even get to use it is to pay, I thought it was like $10,000 a year or something.
You're absolutely correct. That road was on someone else's property, and yes, he would have to pay something to that party. And I believe Your Honor is correct. You are recollecting the record. there is a reference to $10,000. That's the only reference. However, the whole point of this ordinance, I firmly believe, is to protect the adjoining landowners. Now, what we've done by allowing Respondent Meadows to put in this new road 89 feet away from my client's house is basically to shift the burden of the economics onto my clients. Now, my clients are going to suffer a depreciation of value of property. They're going to have to live with, you know, 1 to 100 trucks driving by their house every day versus him wanting to avoid having to pay some amount of money to someone else. And that's a cost that he could have passed on to his end users.
So is your
yes,
position,
Your Honor,
then that it doesn't fit into the exceptions under 622G10 because there weren't any safety concerns cited by the St. Louis County Planning Commission, and there wasn't any reference to any wetland preservation issues? Is that your point then?
Yeah, that's my point. There are insufficient facts to fall under those two clauses. Again, no safety reasons have been cited. The record is absolutely, in my opinion, absent of any facts. And for wetland avoidance, quite frankly, you didn't need to construct the road in the location it currently is in order to avoid wetlands. He already had a means to get into the pit. That was the historic road that was originally permitted in the first CUP back in around, I think, 1997.
But that,
so
that was
my client.
That was with a different owner on the parcel of property who apparently was related to the folks that were letting him enter that way for free. Isn't that correct?
I believe that, yeah, it is a different owner, yes.
And wasn't it a relative?
But nevertheless.
Wasn't it a relative of that prior owner who was letting him use their property for free, basically, for access?
That may be the case. I don't know the specific economic arrangements between prior pit owners, and I don't know if the record's clear on that. But the point that I'd like to make here is simply this. The ordinance is designed to try to protect the adjoining property owners, I believe, and to protect other residents in the county. And by allowing the haul road to be constructed within this non-disturbance zone, they're basically allowing Mr. Meadows to avoid regular costs of a pit, and that's being shifted upon the Antcliffs. And that wasn't the purpose of the ordinance.
Well, could I ask you this question? I mean, there's no dispute that there was an easement for the benefit of the pit owner, right?
Yeah, I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
All right, and the easement gave him some access to that property or that land, right? The 33 feet.
Yes, I believe the easement is I believe that's document number 6 of the record. That's the quick claim deed with the easement. I'd have to look specifically at that to see what the language of the easement is.
All right, and the other possibility was apparently the pit owner had 10 acres, which was primarily wetland. So you're not arguing that the road should have gone through the wetland, are you?
No, I'm not making that argument.
All right. So it's basically the easement land or this other land over another owner's property.
Correct, Your Honor.
And those are the only two options. Otherwise, it's a landlocked pit, right?
Yeah, I guess you could consider it as a landlocked parcel. However, notwithstanding the existing roadway that had been there before and still exists to this day.
But it's not a roadway that is the subject of an easement or... This owner does. This pit owner has no ownership or rights to this road. Correct. There's no easement on that property. Am I correct?
To my knowledge, no, there is not, Your Honor. I believe the record has maybe a couple paragraphs in the transcript relating to what Mr. Meadows did or didn't do. And I think, Your Honor, you mentioned it before, too, by referencing the $10,000 price. So, yeah, so to be clear, we're not saying that he should have constructed the road across the wetlands through that landlocked portion of the 10 acres, because clearly I think we would be dealing with the wetland avoidance clause under G10, right? But because of the fact that there is this existing roadway that had been used for however long in the past, was permitted originally under the original conditional use permit, and that's present there to this day to avoid wetlands. Right now, there's more than one access point into this pit because of it. So, and I see I'm starting to run out of time here, unless there's any other questions of the court.
Did the township's position on this have any legal bearing on the County Planning Commission, especially in light of the fact that they had earlier approved the other, at least when the access was differently, had approved this, and now they're not approving it?
Yeah, the county at some point in time, I think in the 90s, took over the zoning regulation or the controls over that. I do know that Grand Lake Township previously approved the conditional use permit. However, in connection with this particular application, and you saw this in the record, Grand Lake Township opposed the expansion of the gravel pit operations.
All right.
Any other questions?
You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Thomas Stanley. I'm an assistant St. Louis County attorney, and I am here on behalf of the St. Louis County Planning Commission. You've heard the standard for these types of appeals. I would say that essentially it's a very deferential one to the decision of the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission had reports from the Planning Department staff. They had an opportunity to take a look at everything that had been prepared for them, to hear the testimony over two separate days of hearings, to be able to see the witnesses, to look at the documentation, to hear the issues that were involved, and then to make a reasonable and supported decision relative to the granting of the conditional use permit. There were really two issues, I guess, at one point that seemed to be at issue. One was to expand the use of the pit that had been in existence from at least 1942, according to Mr. Matthews during the testimony, but permitted on three separate occasions in 1988, 1992, and 1997. And Mr. Matthews wanted to expand the use of the pit to include some crushing of material. And there were a lot of comments that were submitted relative to that. There was testimony taken where neighbors did not want the noise to impact them. They didn't want this expanded use of the pit. And in granting that expanded use, the Planning Commission said that we're going to limit the times that you can do that crushing. And they put a condition on limiting that to the time period between December and February, I believe. So they took into consideration the comments of the people that were there, the different objections that were made to that particular use. So then the remaining issue is that of the placement of the haul road. And that was primarily, and obviously Mr. Antcliffe's objection to the pit, in that the prior access from Caribou Lake Road would not be used under this circumstance.
Well, what about his argument? I mean, if I had to summarize it, it's basically there is a road there. It's already in existence. Admittedly, in order for the pit owner to use it, he's going to have to pay for it. And it's about $10,000 a year. And why not just use that road and just absorb that cost as a cost of doing business? And why wasn't that proposal accepted as opposed to, you know, interfering with the property interests of the of these people and, in fact, violating the setback in doing so?
In looking at the record, it seemed that Mr. Matthews was using the pit in part to work with his own business, where it wasn't that he was buying the pit so that he could be selling all of the material that came out of the pit to others, but was doing it to supplement his own business, which I can only speculate. He would have to be competitively bidding on various projects. And if he were paying for an access road, that would certainly have a potentially negative impact on his ability to, you know, have the low price.
Well, that's all fine and well, but that's a business decision to make. What we're talking about here is whether or not the county commission should allow it under the ordinances that are in place. And here you've got a violation of a setback if you're to allow the expansion with the Hull Road. So in order to be able to proceed, you have to meet one of the exceptions: safety, wetlands, or an agreement. And I think the parties acknowledge there's no agreement in place, so it either has to be for safety reasons or for wetland preservation reasons. So my question to you is, where in the record is the rationale by the commission for the decision, either for safety reasons or wetland reasons? And I don't see that in the record, but if it's there, please point me to it.
Relative to the safety issue, there was discussion during the, I believe it was the second hearing, and I did cite to it, there was the, it's sort of an odd process the way it came out, but there was first a commercial entrance permit that was issued by the St. Louis County Public Works Department, and then the conditional use permit was being requested to use that access that was being granted through the commercial entrance permit. And there were photographs that were taken by the planning department staff that were included in the record that was given to the Planning Commission of the sight lines that existed on Caribou Lake Road, where the former entrance had been, and also where the sight lines were on the industrial road where the new entrance was being proposed. And Mr. Matthews made some comment relative to the fact that the entrance was better on Industrial Lake Road as compared to Caribou Lake Road because of those sight lines.
Well, that, just because it's better, that's a different issue, though, as to whether or not the road that's already in place, whether or not there are any safety concerns with that. Were there any safety concerns with that? Just because another road may be better, I think that's a different issue.
I would agree with you that I don't think that the record explored whether or not the currently existing access was a safety issue or not a safety issue. I will note that that access road, which, you know, as has been noted, went through the property of a relative of the prior owner of the parcel, was closer to a residential building than what the proposed Hall Road was also. So my review of the record suggests that when the Planning Commission was taking a look at these issues, they were actually looking between two options, one being the locating the Hall Road within the easement, and then the second being locating the Hall Road through the wetland parcel. And while there was testimony relative to the ability to essentially lease the access through the old road for $10,000 a year, the Planning Commission was looking at this from the perspective of a person has legal access to their property, either through the wetland access or through the easement access. And choosing between those two in an effort to avoid the negative impact on the wetlands, the Planning Commission allowed the Hall Road to go within the no disturbance setback, which is allowed under the statute. Under the ordinance,
well,
because that is an exception.
I think though, at least in the appellant's argument, they're not disputing those two choices. They're really here arguing about the other choice, which was the road that currently exists on someone else's property.
The road not taken.
The road not taken. Yes.
The I will note that, and I did not cite this in my brief, there was a cite in another matter that I saw relative to Frank's Nursery Sales versus the City of Roseville at 295 Northwest 2nd 604, where the court had held that a zoning ordinance must be interpreted in the manner that, while consistent with the ordinance's terms, is least restrictive upon the property owner's rights to use its property as it wishes. And I think if we're looking at deciding conditional use permits as to whether or not we can force somebody to rent access to their property on every given situation, there would be probably a lot of conditional use permits that couldn't be granted or that people would choose not to make under those circumstances.
I certainly understand why they wouldn't want to make them from the business perspective, but I don't see, we have three exceptions. I don't see one exception being it doesn't make business sense to use the road that is currently in place.
He doesn't have a right to use that road, is what it comes down to.
He doesn't have a right, but it's a road, it's an access that is available. And the question isn't whether or not he should have to pay $10,000 a month or $1,000 or $100,000 for that, is whether or not there is an exception to the ordinance that allows the county to go through and make an exception to the setback requirements. Because here we have clearly a setback requirement violation if the Hall Road is put there. So there has to be an exception. And I'm struggling to find an exception that's fitting here for either safety or wetland purposes when you look at the road that is already in place and the proposed road. That's what I'm looking for, is some justification in the record by the county as to why a new road is required rather than the road that's already in place. Well, let me ask you this, Council. The road that's in place, the road that's in place, are there any safety concerns with that, or does it go through any wetlands?
To the best of my knowledge, it does not go through any wetlands and goes across another property that is adjacent to Caribou Lake Road.
But that the status is that landowner could say, I changed my mind, nobody can go in there.
And the landowner could change the rent. Yes, Yes.
See, Council, this is kind of off track, but what confuses me in this whole situation from years ago when I worked for counties is usually, you know, in a conditional use permit, you authorize the use, the hauling of trucks and, you know, digging the property and that sort of thing. But when it comes down to the particulars of things like setbacks and that, if there's going to be a violation of a setback, the Planning Commission doesn't deal with that. The Board of Adjustment does in a variance. Can you write the power of the Board of Adjustment to issue variances out of a Planning Commission ordinance by saying we're just going to call them exceptions rather than variances? I'm just kind of confused because I've never seen this kind of language in an ordinance that a Planning Commission might be using.
I can tell you that there is a provision within the St. Louis County ordinance that essentially gives the Planning Commission the opportunity to take a look at the requirements that exist for conditional use permits and make adjustments to those requirements as it deems necessary. Relative to this particular situation, I understand what you're saying relative to the variance from the setbacks, but within the ordinance itself, it already creates this exception for allowing the Hall Road to go within that setback.
If that's appropriate, why do we even have Board of Adjustments then? Why doesn't the county just give the Planning Commission the authority to issue all the exceptions they want?
I can tell you that our Board of Adjustment is very busy in St. Louis County, and we have had situations where applicants have had both conditional use permits and have had variances.
And that's normally what you have when you have these two things in confluence. Wouldn't you agree?
Under most circumstances, yes. In this particular case, we also have a decision of the Director of Planning and Community Development, which is also subject to appeal. Wherein the director had indicated that the Hall Road could be placed within the no disturbance setback. And so it would be our position that because this exists within the ordinance and because there were facts that were developed relative to the wetland avoidance, that utilizing the only other legal access to the parcel that the Matthews had was appropriate under these circumstances. And that was taken into consideration by the Planning Commission.
You would agree, though, that if this was a Board of Adjustment decision, it would be a much higher hurdle for Mr. Meadows here?
Yes, I do agree with that, Your Honor.
Could I ask you a question? I just want to follow up, if you could be more specific. What can you point to in the record or in the decision that deals with safety reasons for the setback in the no disturbance area?
I dealt with safety on page 15 of my brief, and so there was some reference to the permit, of course, that was issued, which doesn't really deal with the safety aspect of it, but relative to the conversation on the sight lines. So it was really access to the road from either Caribou Lake Road or from Industrial Road where the safety issue came into play. I'm not arguing that the safety consideration here was necessarily the focus of the Planning Commission. I think that they were looking more at the wetland avoidance. And again, that there's no question that those wetlands should not have a road in it. I guess we would take the position or the circumstances that the third option that was listed is sort of a false choice due to the economic realities of not necessarily being able to guarantee access to the pit through that road, and also the cost that's associated with it.
Why is that a false option? Because that's, how does that fit under one of the exceptions? That the cost of doing business may be cost prohibitive to do business there. It's safety agreement or wetlands. There's no exception for it's going to be a financial burden to that party.
For economic considerations and such, no, there is not an exception for that. I agree with you on that. It is simply when looking at the right to access the property, that road does not provide a right to access. And in other situations, if we were to take the variance example, for instance, and somebody wanted to put their house closer to the side yard setback, then we should look at all of these from the perspective of, well, why don't you just buy 10 feet of property from your neighbor, and then you'd have your setback and you wouldn't have to worry about that. And I think that's the problem that we've got here, is that in any situation where somebody else can walk in and say, well, maybe you could go buy this property or maybe you could lease that, it changes the considerations.
Right, but I think what you're laying out there is a hypothetical. Is there any dispute that the current road is indeed available and accessible? The only question that it's for a fee?
The current road was used for the prior owner of the pit. There's no question about that. Relative to Mr. Matthews' testimony, it appeared that he was saying that he would have to pay $10,000 a year to use that road.
So the road is accessible?
Apparently, according to Mr. Matthews, but I don't know for what duration. Are there any other questions for me? All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, and if I may just use a little bit of my time just to try to respond to the record questions that we've been having here this afternoon as to the issue of safety. And while counsel was arguing, I had the chance just to briefly review the conditional use permit that was actually signed and filed, and which included the findings of fact. And I was looking specifically on page A-4 of my addendum. And there's a cite to a Jill Brown, and she specifically talks, and I quote, Jill Brown, quote, stated that the new access road is an unsafe option. Now, granted, I don't know who Jill Brown is, But while we're talking, in order to try to answer the court's question, that's really the only safety issue that I could locate in the record, and it, if I'm reading it correctly, supports the position of my client. So again, just applying the three different instances in Clause G10, and really the only two that apply, are the, I apologize. Is whether or not there are safety reasons as deemed necessary by the appropriate road authority. Now, I just cited Jill, who we don't know who it is, but I think it's safe to say that she's not with the road authority. Council cited within his brief on page 15 sight lines and portions of the record, I believe from 55 to 60 something. Again, there's no findings or facts noted by the appropriate road authority there. So again, under the exception under Clause A, there are no safety reasons stated in the record. Because of that, the decision by the county should be overturned. With respect to the wetland avoidance, again, my position is because of the existence of, and I really like counsel, I tip my hat to him, a road not taken, or to the court, the road not taken, again, that's a way to avoid the wetlands at any rate. So there was no reason to construct this other haul road in violation of the setback requirements in order to avoid the wetlands. So unless the court has any other questions of me, I'll sit down.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. We will take the matter under advisement. And we appreciate your arguments here today as well as your extensive briefing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.